up, everybody. Welcome to an exciting new episode of X Vigilante. Today, I have the writer-director team from The Great Short, Dating Audrey. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you.
Did this idea come from, let's start with the easy part, Audrey Hepburn movies?
Yes. So I had worked with Kendall Brenneman, who's a spitting image for Audrey Hepburn, on a prior project in Los Angeles several years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And during COVID, she was antsy to do something. And she called me up and said, "Hey, I have this idea to do this Audrey Hepburn short. Would you be interested in directing it?" And I thought about it for a millisecond and said, "Yeah, absolutely. What do you got in mind?" And so over the course of a summer, we went back and forth. We co-wrote it. She's great with the Audrey dialogue. She is a student of Audrey Hepburn, again, a spitting image. And I put it in a decent script form. And that's kind of where the idea came from.
Yeah, I want to go back to that for a second. You just said, so the idea was your idea or her idea? She looks like Audrey Hepburn. I understood that. So did you write the script by yourself or was her help?
We co-wrote it. So it was, she had an idea to do something. And then we sort of came up with this concept, this love triangle. It's really a concept for a feature. It's really a three-person love triangle that we were like, well, yeah, but let's do a short and then we'll raise money and then we'll do the feature later. So that was, but it was really her impetus to just want to do something and play Audrey Hepburn on camera.
So for your writing purpose, how many Audrey Hepburn films have you seen?
I have a list and it's probably like 10 or 12.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen almost everything, but maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Probably the heart. I've even seen the one she's just in it at the beginning. Like there's a couple of films she cast. I'm that big a Hepburn fan, so I'm totally on board with you.
Great. Awesome.
So your lovely wife is the producer of this film.
Correct.
How was being a producer on a film? Did you watch Audrey Hepburn films or did you come on cold to this project?
I watched it once I get the project. We watch it together, especially the certain movies that on the script. The reason is, of course, I want to get familiar with it, but also we used a lot of original locations that was on the Audrey Hepburn movies. So it was fun, exciting project. I had the chance to work with French people, try to get them, a permit and working with the government to get it, language problem, everything. But it wasn't that bad. It was great to produce something like this.
So let's back this up just a tiny bit more. Where's the location? It is shot in Europe. At least it looked like Europe to me in the short.
Yeah. We shot in Paris, 30 minutes outside of Paris in the country was his mom's house. And then in the city, and then the castle from, I want to say Funny Face.
Funny Face, yeah.
Which is about an hour outside of Paris as well. So, in and around Paris.
So how much fun was it to go to places that you had written about and seen in films?
It was kind of, it was super cool, but I have to say, you get there and you show up and the Puppet Theater is a great example. It was, run down, condemned. It's in the background but we couldn't have access to it. We wanted to open it up and we're going to put on a puppet show. We had everything lined up and, some things, don't align with your vision because of one thing or another. Same thing was the Arc de Triomphe isn't the arc in the movie. That other one was under construction. But we're like, it's the flavor of it. It's an homage to that same scene where she has the balloons and it rained that day or whatever, and ours is different. But, as much as we could match what was from the films is what we try to do. The castle was one of the best scenes, I think, that comes the closest.
And that's the original one, too.
Yeah.
Excellent. So I'm going to drag you a little bit more into your film now. I want to, at the beginning of the film, your main character drops two bags very loudly.
Yes, that's correct.
I just would like to know what is in the bags to start off. Like you start off this film with a bang. And I would really want to say that's exactly what I heard in my headphones.
That's exactly what I wanted. It's just his frustration. So if it were a feature film, the backstory was, he quits his job in London and he wants to surprise his fiance, and he shows up on her doorstep and catches her with another guy. And then, schleps across town to his mom's house. She had recently passed away. And so it's just at wit's end, and he's got everything, all his belongings with him, and drops them on the floor.
Did you add a sound effect for that, or is that really how loud they were?
That was really how loud they were. Floor was amazing. But
yeah.
I think maybe my sound mixer might have, boosted or added a little something.
I just want to say, throughout the film, I thought the sound was boosted a lot in scenes. I don't know if that was your direction or the sound guy. I mean, it does help the film a lot. I'm not saying it doesn't. But I've just thought, wow, they're really forcing me to listen to the film. Like, was that something you were after as a director?
Yeah, I mean, as a filmmaker, I always say sound is 50% of any movie. And so I really pay enough or close attention, I should say, hopefully enough attention to sound, even in the writing process. Like, that was kind of something I felt like was important in the script. Just it started off with a bang, like you said, just to grab people's attention. All the sound from the public domain, source music that we use, everything was, really, it's always planned as much as we can. There's a scene where he's waking up the next morning and there's a handsaw in the background, but that was inspired because that's really what happened. Like, there was the construction next door, and we're like, oh, just pretend you wake up to that handsaw. And then we put in, a different one in post. But, so it's just embracing, you have a plan, but then you just embrace what, the happy accidents.
Yeah. Then the next thing I want to go over, you do a flashback to his Eboldi. I think I said her name correctly.
L-O-D.
The first flashback of her. Yeah. I want to ask, did you play with the color, or is that a filter? Because you definitely changed the look of her. Like, I thought, oh, that's very interesting, because you have me starting in a modern day shot, and I really feel I'm daydreaming at this point, that you're setting me up for the next scene after.
Exactly. That was intentional. It was his happy flashback of a happier time. So the warmth and when they were in a good relationship, it was like him taking photo of her or video of her on his phone or whatever, just out in the garden, in the backyard or wherever. And so we wanted to have a distinct, warmer tone to that.
So did you do that with a color correction, or was that a filter used on your camera?
No, it was color correction these days. Yeah. In the old days we used to do it in camera. But
I know. Sometimes I still, that's why I always ask. I'm interested in filmmaking.
Exactly.
So as a producer, and you're sitting there, you're watching this, are you happy with the amount of costume changes you had to put up with, producer, and had to find? Because that's probably your job, to find all these clothes.
Clothes?
Yeah.
So we are lucky enough, Kendall, she has most of the wardrobe of Audrey Hepburn. So we work on that. And then anything missing, we had our costume designer, who is my best friend from childhood, came from London, did all her costume design. I mean, helped her out. But she made the hat. Or certain things we don't have it, she made and brought it back to Paris. So I'm really happy. A lot of people said, oh my gosh, it really looked like. And especially the wedding dress, we rented, not rented, we got it from Paris.
London.
London.
Yes.
This person, he has a theater, and he made it a copy, exactly copy of Audrey Hepburn's wedding dress. And it really looked like, and we brought those from London. So it was very amazing to have everything really looked like. Yeah, the wedding dress was on Funny Face. And
it was James Kelly. We should give him a props because he handmade that dress, and there's a great behind the scenes on the dress itself, which was literally amazing. And so we got very fortunate that Kendall had these relationships with people that, and they were kind enough to support, you know, an indie short that they trusted us to borrow it for a week and return it.
So when you're shooting in such a small production, I mean, you usually don't see, I'd say at least 10 costume changes. I was starting to count at one point. How does that work for you? I mean, you have to have this all on set. Are you, I know in your head, I mean, you're obviously an experienced director, but how much work did you do to go, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that, and staying on target? Because usually people don't change costumes and shorts is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think it all comes down to the planning. So my background is as an ad agency producer when I was much younger. And so the production part of it, you know, we do a very, very intricate schedule because I know how long it's going to take. You know, you take an hour for her to do her hair for the bathtub. So it was just in planning the shooting schedule that we were able to, you know, Audrey doesn't appear in all that many scenes or all that many shots, let's say. So we would be doing the first part of a scene with Edmund, who plays Pete. And that gave him time to do the changes, to do the hair. And we just had to schedule it, you know, very meticulously and just, you know, and it helped that we were shooting. It was a 4-day shoot and we shot, two and a half days in the location of the house. So we're all there in the house. The costume designer, her friend had a room at this big Airbnb that we rented. And that's just, you know, in the approach. Like, you just have to have the team and plan it all out.
Go.
Yeah.
So, Atal, you keep going about approach. You sound very organized. So, how organized were you on those music cues? Because, I mean, they're all over here. Sound effects, music cues, and they are jumping. I don't want anybody to think it's all the same sound. It's definitely not. It's definitely very creative.
Yeah, I am. You know, our production company, In the Wee Hours, we come from commercials. So I grew up in commercials, you know, my whole career. And, you know, 30 seconds is very meticulous, right? You can imagine, you know, the sound design and the things that go into a 30-second commercial or 60 nowadays or online content. So we have a same team that we work with time and time again. I have a wonderful composer, Thibaut, and our sound mixer, you know, is great, Nick, and our editor has sound design background. And so everything gets thought out. I mean, a lot of it came from, I guess, my direction or my notes or the script even. They play this track. But like a great example is he walks up to the piano. The piano was just something we discovered on, you know, at the house on the day. And Edmund felt strongly that we should incorporate it. So, you know, he's just supposed to play the song. And I said, well, yeah, okay, go up to the piano, play the first few notes, and then play the song. And so, you know, it was just that ability to, when you have a small, tight-knit team and you have this not absurd schedule, I mean, it's a 20-minute movie and we spent 4 days. You know, it was 7 pages on day one and 2 pages on day four. But aside from that, you know, sort of challenge, you know, it was good to have the time. That's why I love this producer, because, you know, I get the time to do those things, embrace the creativity that comes to us and just makes the story better.
You do a lot of homages to Audrey. I mean, but I also want to start, before we get to the homages, I forgot. The DVD shelf, I did pay attention. I only noticed 2 Audrey movies because you gave me a fast shot of that. I did try to pause it. I still can't read them. I noticed you have Roman Holiday and Charade, because obviously Charade's right at the beginning. That's pretty evident. Yeah. Did you have more movies you wanted to add to that, or I just missed them because it was going by too quick?
It was going by too quick. We did have, I know, My Fair Lady's in there.
Venus?
Yeah, I think we had 7 to 10 of her movies Yeah, Funny Face, Breakfast at Tiffany's was in there. Paris When It Sizzles, probably How to Steal a Million. Like, whatever we could find, we basically added to the pile in there.
I thought that was kind of cool. I was like, oh, DVDs made me happy. If you guys, I know this is a weird question. I don't want to take anything away from the Audrey act. Would you have made a short, let's say Audrey couldn't do it, would you have made a short about Katharine Hepburn or Barbara Streisand, two other very big people?
Never. Never.
Okay. If there,
it was only because having worked with Kendall before, she was literally born to play Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, I agree. She's wonderful.
If there was anyone else or any other idea, I don't feel like I would have tackled it. I just knew, I had faith. I hoped. I think we prayed like that she could pull it off and people would find her convincing. And I said, well, if not, she doesn't really have to be in the movie that much. Just like Jaws, you know, the shark didn't work. So the shark isn't in it as much as maybe it was supposed to be. So that was kind of my approach. But yeah, I wouldn't have tackled this necessarily without that partner in crime that Kendall is.
Okay. I think your casting is wonderful. I love your lead. He seems, I don't want to go back to I Dream of Jeannie, but it did remind me a bit of that at times. Not saying mm-hmm. same thing. So I thought he was like the army guy in I Dream of Jeannie.
Yeah.
And then Jeannie's Audrey, obviously. And then the other woman. I want to discuss the casting of his old girlfriend, because you have such a difference, two different type of women. One, like, I guess Marianne and Gillian, kind of that kind of thing. Were you looking at that as an option? Was I supposed to think about it that way, that he has a choice? I mean, he obviously knows Audrey doesn't exist. He's told us that. But he's talking to her so much, I'm kind of like, maybe she does exist.
He definitely falls in love with the idea of her, as we say in it. I think it's interesting. So when she did the casting and we did it together, and I think, you know, for me, I try in this day and age just to cast colorblind. Like, we let it open. You know, Europe's a little different than the States. And I just really fell in love with Geraldine. She just embodied what I thought, like, he might have, you know, wanted to marry. And it just was, something. I think she was the best actress, honestly.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's what I'm looking for. That's not.
Mm-hmm. She was the best one. Pete too. He was a great Edmund.
Oh, yeah. I love Edmund. Edmund's I get this guy. I know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting though, to your point, like, I think, I don't want to give away the ending, but like the fourth cast member is sort of more akin to the Audrey Hepburn, you know, brunette kind of thing. So that would maybe be his type in reality.
I'm not discussing the fourth. I don't remember. Sorry, I've forgotten about the fourth cast member. I do have a weird question. Edmund is walking down the street. I think Audrey's in the scene. There's a person against the wall with headphones on the, is he really in the movie or is he just there? I could not figure that out. I'm convinced he was just in the shot and you left him in.
No, it was intentional. We cast him. I mean, he's our son.
Our son.
Oh, sorry, I had no idea who he was. But, I'm like, why is he here?
But it is for the joke about, you know, Audrey's from the, whatever, times before Bluetooth. So she doesn't understand Bluetooth. So that was... It was intentional that he had an earbud and be standing against the wall listening to music or whatever.
And also in person now, he's a teenager, always have that too. So it worked out very well. He did very well job, I believe.
Well, I just thought you were shocked. I made that in my notes. I go, I got to ask about the random person against the wall. I'm really sorry. I don't have more questions, but your short is phenomenal. But I do have some fun questions, if that's okay.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay, I ask everybody their first time on the show their favorite movie.
My favorite movie. I have three.
Give me all.
My favorite movie has to be Star Wars because I'm that generation. So
am I.
Yeah, I was 9 years old. I didn't even see it when it came out. I saw it on its first re-release in 1978. And that's
why. Me and you saw it at the same time.
There you go. That's why I'm sitting here today. So that is my all-time favorite.
Bodyguard, Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston. That's the movie I watched so many times. And I love that movie.
Well, we have number two is going to be an easy question. I have to ask your favorite Audrey Hepburn movie, don't I?
Yeah, you should. Probably.
I think I have to.
Yep.
You want to go first?
Funny Face.
Yeah, that's a good one. Damn. You know, it probably is hard to pick. It's so hard to pick. Breakfast at Tiffany's is probably one just because I saw that maybe first a long time ago, film school or whatnot. But, you know, I'm such a fan of all her work.
Yeah.
The last question might be a little bit harder. What's the hardest part about producing a 20-minute short? What do you feel you have to leave out?
It's hard to produce 20-minute short, especially indie, when you don't have all the money, everything, because I also produce a little commercial, has a little more money and easier. But like 20-minute short, you want to put everything in, plus you don't have the budget. But I try to do everything as my director asked, or the creative, we can bring it. But it's very hard to leave anything. Try to do everything, and that's how we go over time or work longer.
For me, it's because the idea was sort of born as a feature. And for me, you can't put everything in a 20-minute movie. So for me, it was working with Kendall to say, what short films are meant to be is about a moment of decision or a moment of discovery. And so for us, for me personally, it's like, yeah, you don't get to see all that first act backstory that the feature would have. We just start with two bags dropping. And that moment of decision, like he had lost his mom, he lost his job, and he lost his fiance. You cannot have a character with more undeserved misfortune than that. And that is sort of like what we try to do, is put a little tiny bit of an arc, in 20 minutes. And it's not easy. And the ending leaves it, we don't know exactly what the third act is either. In the big, scheme of the feature. But that's the most challenging, is really make a beginning, a middle, end in a short that makes sense and people respond to.
I presume Dating Audrey is only available on the film festival circuit right now.
Correct. Yes.
Will it end up on YouTube or anything, or is it a good time to promote your website?
So there is a way, because it all started, with a Seed and Spark campaign. We did a little crowdfunding back in the beginning. And what we offered people was, if you made a $10 donation, you would get a private link to view the movie. So we're still honoring that. If you go to datingaudrey.com, there's a donate button. You send us $10 on PayPal, and we'll send you a link to the movie to watch it over and over and over again in the privacy of your own home. So that's where you can see it now until we do release it publicly, probably early next year after our festival tour.
Do you have anything else you would like to promote now before I let you go?
One last thing, I guess we should say. We were crazy at the time. Long story shorter, we woke up New Year's Day 2023 and said, we're going to make and finish 3 short films in 1 year. And so we shot The Snow Is Always Whiter in New York City in February. So that's this one. For people on the radio that can see that, right? So then we went to Paris in June and shot Dating Audrey. And then finally, my baby, I'm not playing favorites, but a little adventure mystery called Domino Springs, shot in California in October. And we finished all three, and all three are on the festival circuit. And what an undertaking, but it's fantastic just to be able to do that while other people, unfortunately, weren't working last year.
Well, congratulations. I think that's very impressive for a man that does this just for a hobby and doesn't seem to get 3 interviews done in some months. So thank you so much for your time, and have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much for having us.